This is Ed McMahon with a warm welcome to the new sound of Monitor 67. Monitor. 3 minutes away, songwriter Johnny Mercer talks about today's youth and its music. Richard's Flugel Knights are first in line with Cabaret.
It's America's most popular new cigarette. Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like. There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
Any songwriter who has won 4 Academy Awards for his tunes and had 15 others nominated has got to be ranked among America's leading composers of popular music. Such a man is Johnny Mercer, a native of Savannah, Georgia, who migrated to California and the resulting fame and fortune. John has some firm opinions about today's music, the younger generation, and some personal memories which have highlighted his career. Here he is with Monitor reporter Burl Womack.
Johnny, we hear a lot of complaints these days that they just aren't writing songs like they used to write. How do you answer that?
Well, they aren't, and maybe they don't want to. I think half the songs they write today are put-on of our songs, you know. Put-ons, I guess you'd say. Except with a few songs, I think like John Lennon has written, or like Yesterday's and Michelle, and a song like Taste of Honey, those are very pretty songs. They would stand up against any beautiful song in the past. But kids today want to write a different kind of song. It's kind of a manufactured folk song. It's a manufactured Elizabethan song. And occasionally they put us on a little bit like Lady Godiva or Winchester Cathedral. You know, they're kidding us.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Johnny, we hear a great deal of criticism of the youth today, not only musically, but their morals and the way the younger generation is going. Do you think young people as a whole are any better or worse than a generation ago?
I don't know. I think they get a lot more publicity than we ever got. There's so much more. They're so much more talked about. I can't remember another generation that's been so talked about since way back in the Charleston in the Prohibition era, when we were all driving in rumble seats and drinking out of flasks. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I think that it's about... it's scary. It's a little bit scary what they, the limits they go to in certain departments. But on the other hand, the awful lot of kids on College Bowl and a lot of great students, a lot of brains, a lot of great football players, great big athletic fellas that we never had.
Well, of course, there's no question that today's youngsters enjoy a great deal more freedom than when you and I were growing up. How do you think this affects them?
I think it affects them adversely. They have a little too much freedom. If they're going to have all that freedom, they ought to have a little more respect for the people who give it to them, their parents. I think they're a little too rebellious as a general run. I think it's strangely different parts of the country, though. I've noticed that Southern kids are awfully polite and nice. They say yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and they mean it. And I think you bring them up a little better down here. I think it's got something to do with the small town and the big town. I think the big city kid has it a little tougher than the small city kid.
Getting back to Johnny Mercer, the songwriter, what would you list as your most thrilling experience through all these years?
Well, I really don't know. I guess it's got to be way back when I was a very young fella trying to get started and getting my first breaks, I think. I think when I won the contest with Paul Whiteman, I was about 23, and that meant I got away from a stockbroker's job. I got away from being an actor walking around the streets. I got a real job with Paul Whiteman. That was a terrific thrill to win that contest. Then another time was when I made my first record with Bing Crosby. I think that was a big kick. Of course, winning an Oscar is a big kick.
Oh, yes. If you had it to live over again, Johnny, would you make any big changes?
I would do two things. I'd try to do two things that I didn't do this time. I'd try to learn to play the piano, which I don't do, strangely enough. And I'd try to learn how to dance. Professionally, like a stair or... Well, maybe not that good, but as well as I could.
Now, many of the songs that you write reflect the attributes of relaxed living and take it easy, and
yeah.
I think, of course, of your first big hit, Lazy Bones. Is this a personal philosophy with you? Do you believe in that way of life?
Well, I really think that I do, because I think one of the big reasons I became an actor and later a songwriter, more especially, is that I didn't have to get up in the morning. I didn't have to get to the office at any certain time. That was a big thing in my life when I was a young fella. Of course, I love what I do, and I'm not confined to a desk to do it. I can walk around the block and write, or I can knock off for an hour or two and come back and go to work, or I can even get up in the middle of the night and write. So there's a certain freedom there that I like, and it is relaxing, and I like that better than any punching any clock or working by any computer.
Well, I want to thank you, Johnny Mercer, for chatting with us and wish you continued success and more Oscars in the years to come. This is Burl Womack reporting for Monitor.
And you know, there's no better finish to an interview with Johnny Mercer than a Mercer song. Henry Mancini's orchestra and chorus do one of his most recent Moment to Moment. Sometimes international developments occur on a moment-to-moment basis. For all the latest news, as well as special news features, always stay tuned to Monitor.
You're on the Monitor Beacon.
It goes without saying that Monitor offers all the latest sounds and popular music. For instance, have you heard Astro Gilberto and Walter Wanderley teamed on Call Me? Well, we'll fix that right now.
If you're feeling sad and lonely, tell the one who loves you only. I can be so warm and tender. Call me, don't be afraid, you can call me. Maybe it's late, but you call me. Tell me and I'll be around. If it seems your friends desert you, there's somebody thinking of you. I'm the one who never hurt you. Maybe it's because I love you. Call me, don't be afraid, you can call me. Maybe it's late, but you call me. Tell me and I'll be around. Now don't forget me, 'cause if you let me, I will always stay by you. You gotta trust me, that's how it must be. There's so much that I can do. If you call, I'll be right with you. You and I should be together. Take this love I long to give you. I'll be at your side forever. Call me, don't be afraid, you can call me. Maybe it's late, but you call me. Tell me and I'll be around. If you let me, I will always stay by you. You gotta trust me, that's how it must be. There's so much that I can do. If you call, I'll be right with you. You and I should be together. Take this love I long to give you. I'll be at your side forever. Call me. Don't be afraid, you can call me. Maybe it's late, but just call me. Tell me and I'll be around.
The curious and sometimes frightening world of the teenager comes into sharp focus on Cool Rebellion tomorrow night on NBC News monthly series Second Sunday on NBC Radio.
La, 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 la.
Presenting the Wynn Oil Company Chorale under the direction of John Philip Azusa. With special program notes by Mr. Keenan Wynn.
Thank you. This is Keenan Wynn. I'd like to point out, first of all, that though my name is also spelled W-Y-N-N, I'm not related to the Wynn Oil Company people of Azusa. I do know about Wynn's products, however. I've used them in automobile, motorcycle, and hydroplane competition, as well as in my airplane and in my family cars. They're good. Wynn's famous friction proofing.
Proofing!
Wynn's engine tune-up.
Up!
Wynn's new charge.
Charge!
And many more.
More!
All designed to keep your car going strong by the Wynn Oil Company of Azusa.
Azusa, Azusa, California. Look, keep your car going strong. Wynn's.
Boris Jankowski's orchestra that traditional canine health test for all informers. The spy with a cold nose. Monitor. Healthy. Happy. Nationwide every weekend on NBC Radio. WDSU New Orleans is our station for the Great Gulf South. Hello, New Orleans. And all our stations on the line will return the greeting right here. This is Ed McMahon.
At home or on the road, stay with Monitor on the NBC Radio Network.
In the next 25 minutes, sports, comedy, music. Jane Morgan first, and this tune should give you an idea of how fast time is going in this new year. Kiss tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye, my love. I know we're through. Tonight will be my last with you. Don't say a word. Don't even try. It's best that we kiss. Tomorrow, goodbye.
Monitor Sports. Bill Veeck, one-time owner of the St. Louis Browns, Cleveland Indians, and the Chicago White Sox, is definitely interested in returning to Major League Baseball. But not just in any city. A report from Monitor's Johnny Earp in Chicago.
Bill, there's been some rumor buzzing around that you might get back into baseball as a general manager of the Cincinnati Reds.
Johnny, I got troubles enough of my own without going to Cincinnati to look for more. It just seems that every time a ball club is sold, any time a president or general manager resigns or is fired, I automatically become a candidate. I have really no interest. I figure I have one more go around. I don't want to spend it in Cincinnati.
All right, and I notice you stress Cincinnati, but does that include the rest of the USA about baseball?
Oh, there are a couple of ball clubs in the country, and only a couple, that would interest me. Unfortunately, neither of them are available at the moment.
Art Allen recently made the charge that you traded away all the ball players the White Sox had.
That's right. You know, Johnny, that is interesting. He had to go back 7 years to find an excuse for having his attendance go from $1,650,000 when we left to $850,000 last year. You know, there's nothing that makes, really, a tycoon as nervous as no profits and visions of red ink to come. And I think Arthur was trying to justify the fact that the White Sox didn't draw people because they didn't have winning players, and he couldn't think of anything more recent than 7 years ago.
There's another sport making inroads in our country now, with two big leagues coming in soccer. And quite a few baseball people are becoming interested. Football people are, too. You give any thoughts to getting in that field?
No, I've watched it with great interest. I'm a soccer fan, and I think it has a great potential and a great future. I'm hopeful that the two leagues will get together one of these days into one organization, because I think it's rather difficult to start off fighting when you're trying to introduce a sport on a major in a major way. And it's strange that it hasn't up till now become successful in the United States, and I believe without question that it will. It's a fine game. Great to watch.
Bill, you interested and always have been in that cash customer, getting him in through the turnstile. I guess the loss of Sandy Koufax to baseball, that's going to really hurt.
Yes, it is a tremendous loss to the game, not only to the Los Angeles Ball Club and to the National League, but to the game in total. There are so comparatively few ball players left who are exciting and different and colorful and who actually individually draw people that baseball can ill afford to lose even one. Because you see, Johnny, while baseball is a team game, yet it's a team game of individuals, in which everything the ball player does, he does himself. And so the absence of color or the increase in color is much more noticeable. But I feel that this disappearing, exciting individual is merely a trend of our society and is only pinpointed in baseball.
Certainly, thanks. Good luck to you, Bill Beck.
Thank you, Johnny.
Now, this is Johnny Open, Chicago, for Monitor Sports.
And switching from baseball to pro football, NBC Radio and Television will carry the Super Bowl game on January 15th, matching the champions of the American and the National Football League, Kansas City and the Green Bay. So make a date to be with NBC on the 15th.
This heart of mine with dancing heart of sweet desire, we found our winter love. Ice cold has fallen, tears grow, me chilling fears of loneliness. How could I guess we found our winter love?
The latest word from the Letterman, our winter love. Winter, summer, spring, or fall, listen for this friendly call. And this comedy by the Smothers Brothers, next on the Monitor Beacon.
Everybody has a different business. The business of 40-plus of New York is to place executives over 40 in new positions where the employer is looking for and demanding experience. They've been doing this and just this for 26 years and have hit the jackpot some 6,000 times without a complaint upon the part of management. Theirs is a non-profit cooperative organization instituted to help the employer. All Mr. Employer has to do is to call Jim Wilson at 40-plus of New York, Beekman 36086, or write him at 15 Park Row, New York City. Your executive problem could be solved by nightfall. If you are really in a rush for executive help, why not drop in and talk over your requirements with him? Want Brad Crandall's good opinion? Call him on the Big Voice of Big Town, USA, weeknights after the 9 o'clock news. WNBC, New York.
Here's more of Monitor 67 at 15 minutes before the hour. Ed McMahon, your host. Now let's enjoy an actual performance recorded live by two of America's favorite entertainers. Monitor on stage presents the Smothers Brothers.
Boil that cabbage down, boys, turn that old cake brown. Only song I ever did sing is boil that cabbage down. Boil that cabbage down, boys, turn that old cake brown. The only song I ever did sing is boil that cabbage down.
Take it, Tom.
No. I just don't want to take it
Tommy,
when that fella stands up and says...
Tommy, folk singers always take it.
I just...
You know that? You haven't even read the folk singer's guidebook. You haven't even read the folk singer's credo. You don't know what it is to be a folk singer.
Oh.
You're a big phony.
You? Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Tell me, have you read the folk singer's credo?
Yeah, well...
Are you a folk singer?
Yes, I are. Okay.
Then you've read the guidebook, right? And you've read the credo.
Remember when you got your guitar, came with a book?
Came with the book and an Arthur Godfrey chord changer.
Yeah, I remember Mom read it to me.
Yeah, okay. What does the folk credo say? It says all folk singers are obligated to do what?
Dickie, I didn't...
Obligated to do what?
I don't remember what the folk credo
said.
Say
the folk credo. Come on. All folk singers are obligated...
Take it.
That's right. He said to take it.
If you feel like it. If you don't feel like it.
It doesn't say if you feel like it. It says all folk singers are obligated to take it without hesitation, without thinking. They're to take it like a reflex.
You...
Take it, Tom. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, well,
so when I say take it, I want to see you hop to it all the time, every time.
Dickie the Dictator.
Boil that cabbage down. Take it, Tom.
Boom, 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 all the time.
Working on the railroad, working all day long. Take it. Working, 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 working. Boil that cabbage down, boys, turn, turn, old cake round. The only song I ever did sing, boil that cabbage down, boys, turn that old cake round. The only song I ever did sing was boil that cabbage down.
Monitor on stage with the Smothers Brothers. Well, the new year has brought a unique new book. It's titled, How to Defend Your Family, Yourself, and Your Home. One of its highlights is a cozy, folksy-type chapter on Molotov cocktail countermeasures. All of which is enough to discourage any bachelor considering matrimony, whose theme song might well be Dean Martin's latest tune, I'm Not the Marrying Kind.
I go my way alone, free and easy like a rolling stone. I am strictly on my own. I'm not the marrying kind. Not the marrying kind. I am not the marrying kind.
This week, a strange story came out of Saigon. Mildred Harrison, a 44-year-old singer from Los Angeles, has been in Vietnam entertaining the troops for over a month. As she prepared to leave the country, she was arrested, charged with being involved in alleged black market currency transactions, and then thrown into a prison outside Saigon, where she experienced 3 days and nights of terror and confusion. NBC News correspondent David Burrington spoke with her in the Queen Bee nightclub in Saigon following her release, and asked her to describe here what she felt and saw while in prison.
Well, just being behind, being locked up in itself was like a nightmare itself. But the jail to which they took me was an all-women's prison outside of Saigon. And, well, it wasn't, there weren't any cells. It's just one big, big room with about 230 to 50 women. This is where they placed me. Well, I had to sleep on the floor with the others. Nobody had beds. They only had little straw mats that you slept on, and the floor was concrete.
Describe that first night in there in some detail, if you will.
Well, the first night... Well, actually, I just broke down and cried from the moment that I was arrested, and I think I cried nearly all night. I sat up all night.
Was the place quite dirty or fairly clean? Were there bugs or rats or anything around?
Oh, there were rats. Believe me, there were rats about the size of kittens. If you can imagine large-sized kittens or cats. And I was sitting right near an open window, like... And while I was sitting there, just looking out and thinking, I wish I were someplace else, because I couldn't believe that this was real, for real. It was like a dream. While I was sitting there, a rat came on the windowsill, and believe me, he was so huge, I screamed all over again. And then after 2 or 3 hours, I was still crying, but some of the women, you know, were befriended me, and they tried to quiet me down and tried to assure me that I would be out the next day. So finally, after about 2 or 3 hours, I lied down on this mat. And while I was lying there, another rat came right by me, and I felt like I jumped up and screamed again. And then there was some other animal there that was screaming all through the night, too, and it was really a nightmare.
At any time, were you afraid that you might spend weeks or even months in there?
Yes, because when they took me away, even the lawyer didn't know where they were taking me. And every time I thought about it, it was terrifying because I said, well, nobody knows where I am. And I thought, well, perhaps maybe by the first day, someone would come. But the first day, no one came. And then the second day, no one came. And I was just about going out of my mind. Nobody really knew and nobody really cared.
Were there any Viet Cong in the prison?
Yes. I visit the hospital there, which they have a hospital with staff, nurses, and doctors. And since I couldn't eat their food, they gave me a ration of bread and water. I went to see the doctor for some vitamins. So when I went to the hospital, there were about 15 or 20 women waiting to see the doctor. And this young lady, the English-speaking lady, Miss Bond, she told me all of these ladies were Viet Cong prisoners. And when they saw me, they were curious, too, and they all gathered around me and wanted to touch me just like the other women. And she says, well, you can tell other people, at least you were near the VC. You know, I said, well, yes, but not like this.
The voice of Mildred Harrison, a singer from Los Angeles, who spent 3 days in prison in South Vietnam after being charged with alleged currency violations. She spoke with NBC News correspondent David Burrington. The U.S. Embassy arranged her release pending settlement of the strange and complex circumstances surrounding the case.
Show me,
Sergio Mendes Group and Constant Rain.
I like the way it tastes.
I agree. There's nothing like a lark.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
Lark has a good, easy taste.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today. Have a lark today. There's nothing, nothing, nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I think they're the nicest cigarette there is.
Right. There's nothing like a lark.
Have a lark today.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Bacharach's orchestra playing his most recent composition, Nikki. Around the nation and the world, you stay better informed every weekend with NBC Monitor News on the Hour. It's next, so stay tuned. This is Ed McMahon.
It's the Kansas City Chiefs against the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl football game, Sunday, January 15. Complete coverage on NBC Radio and Television.